Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Her Secret, a reverse harem romance by Ivy Fox. Narrated by Aaron Shedlock and Stephanie Rose. Prologue, Tyler.
Boys, I need to have a quick word with all of you. Can you come into the kitchen, please?
I hear Mom yelling from inside the house. I'd really rather just stay out here nursing my hangover from last night's party, but I guess a family meeting is in order. Mason sits on his own lawn chair, annoyed with this sudden gathering. He should be, as last night he drank more than I did. I feel like shit, but Mason looks like it. You should lay off the hard stuff next time, bro. Just because you can legally drink now, doesn't mean you have to down every bottle in the place. I tease my big brother. His only reply is flipping me the bird and lying back on the chair, with one arm covering his eyes from the unforgiving sun.
Get your lazy asses up. Mom's calling us,
Carter says, getting out of the pool while grabbing a towel for him and another for his twin. Chaz silently runs over to a stretched-out, grumpy Mason, shaking his blonde, shaggy, wet hair like a dog onto our eldest brother's face.
The fuck?
Mason yells, angry that our kid brother won't give him the moment of peace his head is begging for. Chaz just laughs like the jokester he is and continues to spray water all over Mason.
Get up, old-timer.
He belts, but immediately starts to run away when Mason goes after him. Both Carter and I laugh like fucking hyenas, watching my big-ass brother chasing the ever-agile and slippery little fucker that Chaz is. From the corner of my eye, I see Drew opening the sliding door from our living room, taking in the show in our backyard. He's trying real hard to keep his permanent scowl in place, but I see a little bit of his upper lip wanting to lift, challenging my brooding brother into a smile. He wasn't always a sourpuss, but I wasn't always an asshole either. I guess we all have the same person to thank for the changes in our personality. My eyes wander up to the house next to ours, catching the sway of the delicate curtains. The howls and wails coming from our backyard must have gotten some attention from the figure doing a piss-poor job at hiding behind those baby blue curtains. Always doing the best to hide from us, but to our chagrin, never fully succeeding in her efforts.
Boys!
Mom yells loud enough to grab our attention. Without saying a word, Drew turns his back to us and walks into the house, but not before I catch his discreet glance to those same curtains. Carter follows, still dripping wet from his swim, while Mason walks Chaz to the screen door in a headlock, both grinning like fools. I would rather stay out here in our backyard, absorbing the sun's warmth on my skin, and letting the scorn at my side get an eyeful. But I'm sure my mother would come out here and pull me by the ear like a toddler. I might be 20 in the eyes of the law, but to my mom, I'm still one of her babies. Never too old to get a smack on the head for my usual insubordination. Not something I want most people to witness, let alone her. When I get into the kitchen, there's a spread of food on the counter, ranging from pancakes, sausages, bacon, toast, and hash browns. My stomach grumbles in appreciation for my mom's homemade cooking. Anna Perry is a wizard in the kitchen, a talent that is only reserved for the men of this house. A talent Chaz is eager to pursue and will kick ass in once he starts culinary school next semester. My brothers are all stacking their plates up to the heavens, save for Mason, who looks nauseous just by the close proximity of the delicious food. Yep, he definitely went overboard last night, and now he's paying the price for it. Guess I'm on my own today if I want to catch some waves. Mason is in no shape to walk, let alone surf.
Dad not eating?
Carter asks, pouring an unhealthy amount of syrup on his pancakes. It's a wonder how he and Chaz have the same ripped body that I do. Surfing is not a sucker sport, so Mason and I work our asses off to be fit and take on whatever the ocean has in mind for us. Aside from swimming, Chaz and Carter are more into racing like madmen on their bikes, a sport that hardly requires exercise. Still, the Perry genes work miracles, and the twins are a perfect example. Drew's idea of exercise is more relatable to me. He gets his six-pack from fucking. If his head isn't inside a book, then it's probably between some girl's thighs. To each his own. Not a bad way to stay in shape, if you ask me.
I already saved him a plate. He's in the study, trying to finish some work he brought from the office last night. Your father is working hard to finish all his pending cases, so he doesn't have to think about them on our trip.
Mom beams excitedly.
So you're all set? Do you need anything from us? Like take you to the airport or something?
Mason asks in earnest.
No, baby. We're sharing a cab with the Wilsons.
She smiles.
But I do need a favor from all of you.
She continues, unaware that the name Wilson has already dampened the mood in the kitchen.
What do you need, Mom?
Drew asks, his back stiff, as if he's sensing a storm about to approach. I want to do the girl thing of rolling my eyes at his increasing mistrusting nature for these past few years. But I don't, because my own gut is telling me my mother's next words won't be something I want to hear.
I talked it over with Sarah, and we decided that Freya should stay here while we're on vacation. We'll both worry knowing she's in the house all alone for a month without someone looking out for her.
Freya's a big girl. She can take care of herself.
Carter replies, and I don't miss the hurt in his voice, as much as he's trying to camouflage it with annoyance for my brother's sake.
Of course she is, but she's still a shy young girl. And with this whole disinterest of hers in going to college, it's making Sarah even more concerned. And let's not forget about the recent robberies plaguing our little town. Just this morning, I heard the Henderson's place was robbed night before last. No, Freya staying on her own is out of the question. She'll stay here with you boys, and we'll all breathe much easier knowing she's safe.
Safe is not the word I would use. If Freya moves into our house for a month, then she'll face a different kind of danger than the one my mom's concerned about.
Well, Tyler and I live in the city, so it's no skin off our back if she's staying here or not,
Mason replies, shrugging and pouring himself another cup of coffee. Lies, lies, lies. How Mason is capable of pretending our next-door neighbor moving in is of no consequence is a remarkable feat, one that all of us have mastered over the years, apparently. Pretending how unaffected we are by her existence is ingrained in our very skin. No worries, Mom. I'm sure the boys will welcome Freya to this house the way she deserves. Won't you? I glare at the twins and Drew. Chaz is already broadcasting his famous, mischievous smile, while Carter looks none too eager for our guest to arrive. Drew just looks unimpressed, which is bullshit, since I know damn well he's just as unnerved and anxious as the rest of us. Mason and I will be sure to drop by over the weekends to check up on her, too. Won't we, Mace? My malicious grin is unwavering with the scowl Mason holds.
Thank you, boys. I know she'll be in good hands with all of you,
Mom states proudly. I wish her pride was warranted, but it's far from it. Freya will not be in good hands at all. Once she walks into this house, she'll be stepping into the lion's den with no protection of any kind. My brothers and I will relish in her discomfort. The asshole in me lights up, anticipating a shaken, trembling Freya in our sights. This might be the only opportunity we have at some fucking justice to her heartless dismissal of us five. She used to be our world until she cast us aside like we were nothing to her. A little payback is fitting. This might be the heavens smiling down on us and offering our revenge on a silver platter. It's the voice of the crushed boy that I once was. I wished I could shut it, but as hard as I try to ignore it, the voice continues to whisper in my ear. This might be the last time my brothers and I can finally get some closure and move on from the princess hiding behind pale blue curtains. Pain will be felt on both sides of the battlefield. We just have to make sure ours bleeds less than hers.
Chapter 1. Freya. Freya? Did you hear me? My mother asks, looking at me with a stern expression on her face while closing the refrigerator door. I heard you the first time, Mom. I just don't think it will be necessary. I mean, I'm 18, you know? Legally a grown adult, I answer, while biting my inner cheek nervously. I'm perfectly aware of that, Freya, although most 18-year-olds I know aren't passing their time lying on the living room couch, day in and day out, watching the world go by. They are preparing themselves for college and the real world, instead of spending the summer in their pajamas. Jesus, Mom, how did you change the topic of telling me that I'll have to spend the summer at the Perrys to challenging my life choices? We agreed I was going to take a gap year, didn't we? I don't want to go off to college yet, without having lived a little more. I moan out. It's the same argument we've had ever since I graduated, and it will probably continue to be so until I've finally had enough to move out. I'm just not ready to take that step yet, for reasons I never want anyone to figure out, much less my mother. Well, you're not going to do much living binge-watching Netflix all day, that's for sure, she whispers, loud enough for me to hear. I roll my eyes behind her, because my mom has no clue at what I'm going through, and it would be pointless having this discussion. I have more pressing concerns than getting derailed by her lack of satisfaction with how I spend my summer days. Is it really necessary for me to live next door while you and Dad go on your cruise? I mean, I'm perfectly able to take care of myself, I plead in earnest. What my mother has concocted for me will do more harm than good. I know she means well, but the idea of me having to spend any time next door, much less a month, will be the nail that will do me in. Freya, we talked about this. There have been a series of break-ins in the area these last few months, and I don't feel comfortable leaving you here all on your own. Neither does your father. Anyway, living at the Perrys won't be so bad for a few weeks. You used to almost live there when you were younger, remember? I don't see the difference it would make now, staying there for the rest of the summer. The difference that my mother refuses to acknowledge is that there is a reason I no longer frequent the household next door. The Perry boys live there. I understand why my mother would assume it isn't a big deal, but living next door will be excruciating, in every sense of the word, to my fragile young heart. Sure, I loved going there when I was younger. I enjoyed spending time with all of the five brothers, either swimming in their pool, playing Xbox, or even just goofing about and watching TV. But as we started to grow, so did my feeling towards them, and it confused the hell out of me. So, distance and a random hello felt a whole lot safer than sleepovers with the five guys, all of which I had a crush on. Yep, can't tell my mom that, now can I? Can't tell anyone, for that matter, or they'll lock me away for extreme slut disorder. Hey, I'm sure there is a more politically correct term or phrase for it, but wanting to screw five brothers at the same time kind of falls in the slut category. Girls my age who have done or thought a lot less have been called far worse. If it was a guy who was doing five sisters at once, he would be the man. A girl doing it? A whole other ballgame. Sucks balls, but it's still the world we live in. I'm sure if my mother even had one small inkling of how I felt, she would lock me in my room and never let me close to the Perry brothers again. Break-ins be damned. Want to know the funny thing, though? Even with all the distance I created in our teen years, those boys are still the only ones that make me feel this way. In other words, this means I'm an 18-year-old virgin because I can't stomach any other man touching me if his last name isn't Perry. Pathetic, huh? Welcome to my world, and my misery. As I was saying, Carl and Anna already have the guest room set up for you for tomorrow. Here is the spare key to their house. I'll expect you to take what you need with you, so you won't have to come to the house while we're gone. I'm even changing the passwords to the security system, so you don't get any funny ideas, my mom states smugly. Fine, I grunt in defeat, since my mother has thought of every scenario. I'm so excited for this trip, Freya. I really don't want to ruin it being worried about your safety. You understand that, don't you? Mom asks, sullenly looking into my eyes. I feel guilty about upsetting her. Yeah, Mom and I haven't exactly seen eye to eye lately, on how I'm going about my life and impending future, but I know her concerns all come from a place of love. Setting up my living arrangements next door is just another example of her worried ways on overdrive. I get it, Mom. You're right. I will go over to the Perrys tomorrow, and it will be like old times. I'm sure Anna has a bunch of activities already in place for me. I smile, reminiscing about the times my next-door neighbor would spoil me rotten. Being my mother's best friend, she came over a lot, wanting some girl time. Living in a house full of testosterone, she used our house as her small escape. She would always say how she envied my mother for having me, always lamenting how she tried so hard for a baby girl, one who would go out shopping with her, or gossip over a fresh batch of double fudge brownies. But instead, she got 5 strapping young sons, who didn't share her love for chocolate or fashion. Luckily, she had Mom and me right next door to give her what she lacked at home. Well, that's another thing. Anna and Carl are actually going on the cruise with your father and I. You know how Carl works so much, and they hardly have any quality time together. So, your dad and I were able to convince them to tag along with us. It's going to be amazing! My mom shouts out in glee, with the thought of having her best friend traveling with her. But every word she utters feels like rocks have been thrown at my stomach. You mean to tell me it will only be the Perry boys and me in that house for a whole month? Yep, one big slumber party, just like old times. You'll have so much fun, I promise, she says, not containing the big smile on her face. Fun is not the word I would use to describe being locked in a house with those 5 boys for the next 4 weeks. Torture, yes. Fun? No. Guess my mom and I have a different opinion on the word. How the hell am I supposed to survive the next month alone with the Perry boys without giving myself away? At a distance, they have no clue I'm harboring some very lust-filled feelings toward them. But up close and personal, how am I supposed to act like their mere presence doesn't set my skin on fire? Yep, torture is definitely the word I would choose. Chapter 2. Freya. I haven't even set foot in the house, and my knees are already shaking. I'm never going to get through this if I don't get it together. I try to remember how we were all friends once, how these boys protected me, with everything they had, since I was still wearing pigtails. They were my best friends growing up, my family. It's not their fault I pulled away. Once I hit puberty and started having these illicit fantasies that no normal teenage girl had, I made the only plausible decision I could think of and kept my sanity safe. To control my hormonal body from caving into what my dangerous mind commanded, I stopped being their friend. I had to do something, and it felt like the right thing to do at the time. The boys didn't take it all that well, though. At first, the twins, Chaz and Carter, tried to understand why I no longer had any time for them. They begged and pleaded with me to come around, but my flimsy excuses to avoid them started to get old, and soon they stopped talking to me altogether. Drew, Tyler, and Mason never made an effort as to even question my motives for pulling away from them, which also stung. So, when the twins followed suit without even trying to keep our friendship intact, my heart was ready for the blowout of my decision to keep them at arm's length. They still said hi on occasion when they came over to my house, usually because their mom was there, but nothing more meaningful than the impersonal greeting. Of course, all of us going to the same high school didn't make it any easier. They ignored my presence there altogether, as if we hadn't shared every secret we had with each other, as if all the dreams we talked about, the wishes we made for our future, and the fears we confessed in the dark were lives shared by the ghosts of our former selves. Sometimes it happens. Our best friends just become strangers, long-lost memories of a time that no longer exists, memories I still cling to every night, unable to move on from my infatuation. The boys that paraded around my school were not the boys I had grown up with, and, if I'm totally honest, loved all my life. You couldn't start a Monday morning without some rumor of the Perry brothers' bad boy antics from the weekend before, throwing wild parties that ended with the police having to be called in to break it up, fights, drinking, and the most excruciating rumor to hear, wild, crazy sex. Yep. The Perry boys had made a name for themselves in Hills High, all right, and not for the good-hearted, wide-eyed boys they were. Although they had everything handed out to them on a silver platter, they still rebelled any way they could, making them the ultimate bad boys. Most of the girls at school were envious that I lived just a few yards away from their lavish home and couldn't understand why I wasn't a permanent fixture in their house anymore. Telling them the truth was out of the question, so I simply said that I had outgrown them. People change. Our connection was no longer there. I started believing my own lies after a while, and maybe the boys did, too. We grew so far apart. We became different people than the children who used to sleep under makeshift towers in their living room, one of my most treasured memories. All of them standing guard, pretending to be chivalrous knights while protecting their princess in her tower. And when we were too tired to continue playing around in our fantasy world, we would all cuddle on the floor over fluffy blankets and pillows, all of them curled together, with me in the middle, hogging up all their love, protection, and warmth. At age 6, someone looking upon such a scene would find it harmless enough. But by the time I turned 13, my body growing into its own, sleeping on the floor with 5 teenage boys wasn't the sweet and innocent image it used to be. And now, here I am, putting myself in the lion's den. I wish I had somewhere else to go, but I don't have any close friends that are willing to have me living with them for a full month. I don't have any close friends, period. The boys weren't the only ones I warded off. I always lived in the belief that if anyone got too close, they would find out my secret. I was enough of a freak as it was back in high school, so I didn't need that kind of spotlight on me. Mom was also true to her word. She switched the password to the house alarm and even made me give her my house keys before leaving this morning. I think Mom is under the misguided illusion that living at the Perrys will provide me with the kick in the butt I need and start thinking about what I want to do with my life. The boys are full of life, ones to never stay still for too long. She must think they will rub off on me somehow, but little does she know they are the reason I'm finding it hard to leave home. Ironic, isn't it? The boys no longer have a place in my life, and yet I can't bear the thought of being too far from them. When Tyler and Mason graduated, I thought I was going to die for not seeing them on a daily basis. I cried myself to sleep every night for a full week when they left for college. But then they returned every Friday night, making enough ruckus in their driveway, warning everyone on our block of their arrival. My bedroom window became my haven all weekend, since it had a perfect view of their backyard, where the boys would swim every morning, rain or shine. Good thing we live in Southern California, hot enough all year round to enjoy the view of their wet bodies coming out of the cool water, with drips clinging to their skin. What can I say? Cali has its benefits. Even though I stay as far as I can from them, I ache if I go one day without seeing their faces. Therefore, spending time stalking them through the curtains in my room is the only reprieve I allow myself to be entitled to. Only now, I won't have my bedroom walls to keep me guarded and safe. For the next few weeks, I'll be living inside the house I stare at every day. Although I've literally been locked out of my house since morning, I couldn't bring myself to rush over next door. Instead, I wandered around our little beach town, counting the hours until it was inevitable to procrastinate any longer. So here I am, 2 feet from a door, where behind it lives my confusion, my heartache, and the 5 boys that were the only real friends I ever had. I take a deep breath, summoning all the courage I have, and ring the doorbell. I have to get into my thick skull that I must lock up the inner turmoil these boys bring out of me, something that I have mastered at covering so well in the past. Another pesky thing that needs to be locked away, tight in a small little box inside my brain, is my desire of being ravished by all of them. I need to be strong and not give in to temptation. Even if none of the brothers looked at me in that way, I might still do or say something embarrassing, which might give them an indication on the longing I hold for each and every one of them. These feelings are so wrong. Yet, after years of denial, I still can't let them go. I ring the bell again, and only now do I register the music blasting from inside the house. It's so loud, no wonder they didn't hear it. I take another quick breath, knocking loudly on the door, hoping someone on the other side will hear. If they don't, I'll just use the house key and let myself in. Although, I really wish I didn't have to resort to it. As I've said, the boys and I aren't friends, so entering the house like I own it might start this summer off on a sour note. When the door finally opens, all the oxygen I had breathed in leaves my body at once, with the gorgeous view of Carter Perry. Just like his twin, Chaz, He has an aura around him that screams confidence and sex appeal, like he can ride a woman for 24 hours without breaking a sweat, and still have enough energy to run a marathon. Carter has the traditional dirty blonde hair of his brothers and the same trademark blue eyes that make girls hot and bothered when they fixate on them. In only basketball shorts, exhibiting muscled, lean abs, he is the first stone thrown at my resistance. Sporting his panty-melting, bad boy smile, laughing at whoever is behind him, weakens my knees further. But his smoldering grin quickly fades once he sees who is knocking on the door.
"You're early,"
he states, with not even a hello to make me feel welcomed. I cough into my hand, trying to get my voice to work, showing that his cold greeting didn't hurt. "Actually, I'm late. Mom said I should have come before lunch, but I had some errands to take care of," I reply stoically, lying through my teeth.
"Whatever,"
he says, walking back into the house, not even offering to show me to my room. Not that I'll need it, anyway. I still have every corner of this house memorized. The room Anna has set up for me is the one I used to sleep in all the time when I was younger. Even though I went to sleep alone, I would always wake up in the middle of the night with all five brothers nestled beside me. Those days are long gone now, and if there is any indication those memories are worthless pieces of the past to them, it was Carter's welcoming. While I cling to them as a lifeline, they don't even make an appearance on the Perry boys' radar. I'm just an old toy that has been once treasured, but long forgotten now, stored away in the attic, no longer useful or cherished. I step into the foyer and establish that the loud music is coming from the living room. I set my duffel bag on the floor and wander inside, following the sound. When I reach the living room threshold, I see three familiar bodies sprawled on their individual seats, fixated on the four dancing half-naked girls in the center of the room. All of them more beautiful than the next, wearing nothing but skimpy bikinis, leaving little to the imagination, and already looking like they soon won't be covering even that. The music is beating away as they rub against each other seductively, eyeing the boys with hunger in their eyes. I see their clothes on the floor, so I missed most of the striptease at least, but I'm sure that I will be getting an eyeful of their last act. Carter has a beer in his hand, taking one sip at a time and enjoying the view the girls are giving him. Chaz, his mirror image, has a smirking grin plastered on his face as one of the girls, a leggy blonde, falls to her knees and crawls her way into his lap. His smile is no longer visible from my line of sight as he starts to bite the girl's barely covered cleavage, making her moan with the music. My heart drops to my stomach, but I establish that my agony is just starting when I see Drew. He stands up from his seat, placing a hand on the nape of one of the girls' neck, while the other yanks a second girl to his side. Both girls start to kiss his almost naked torso while he fondles their hair, guiding them to where he wants them to go. They begin to kiss each other provocatively, bringing this striptease up a notch to porn status. Carter continues to drink his beer, smiling like the Cheshire Cat. Chaz is no longer satisfied with just sucking the blonde's covered tit and springs it free for the whole room to see. He latches onto it immediately and moves one hand under the girl's string bottoms. Her head falls onto his shoulders, moaning out how good his fingers feel inside her. Carter keeps his eyes on his twin while summoning the busty brunette who's been dancing just for him. She leaps into his lap and straddles him, already too turned on for any foreplay. The scene before me is slicing me in two. I had heard all about these little get-togethers the brothers threw once in a while, how some girls at our school attended these private parties. But for me to be standing just mere feet away, watching all three boys giving these strangers their undivided attention and fulfilling their desires, makes me want to tear them apart and bawl my eyes out at the same time. I knew I wasn't going to have the welcoming committee out to enfold me in their friendly embrace. But this? Was this the first thing they wanted me to witness, after years of pretending we didn't know each other? Jealousy, hurt, and rage run through my veins, and it's hard to pinpoint which feeling I should concentrate on. Why couldn't I be indifferent to this little show? They knew I was going to be here today, yet they called these girls over, with the very intent of fucking them, while I was under the same roof. If I had come a little bit later...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?